How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Tonight is about you. Tonight is about the Giants Nation. Tonight is about the best fans in baseball! Now, I was talking to Hunter Pence earlier today, and he said that you guys have a good tradition here going. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to respond with one word. And actually, just one word three times. Are the Giants going to win tonight? Yes! Yes! Yes!
Travis Ishikawa hits one in the right! The Giants win the pennant!
And somebody told me that Touch 'Em All wasn't recording tonight. Oh, we're on. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. At the table tonight, I have a handful of individuals and two people that are going to keep their mouths shut. So don't even worry about opening your mics, gentlemen. We will start with the man who could probably talk to us even without a microphone, Jason Block.
That was pretty cool, and we got two plugs in one. Touch 'Em All World Series Edition opening going to be recording this weekend, so hey.
Not a problem. We also have somebody, a sportsman on the West Coast, who has a lot of apologizing to do, Ethan Muslin.
Yes.
How dare you, sir?
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was.
for your punishment, you better have the Discovery Family Channel tomorrow so you can watch them back to back.
Well, if I wasn't working, I definitely would.
Gosh.
Curses! Foiled you again.
You are a minion, and you shall remain a minion. Finally, at the other side of the planet, somebody who I need to fly to California and punch Ethan in the mouth, Bad News Beeman.
Ethan, I'm sensing some bad news in your future. But anyways, I know what you've done, Ethan, to piss Nikki off, but Nikki's paying me a lot of money, so, Oh, well. So, what's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, let's start with the fact that none of us were looking forward to this Raw. Knowing that we had these two guests showing up, one gal that I had never even heard of until they announced her on the previous Raw, and then the most annoying man on television of whose show I refuse to watch, and I don't think anybody else here at the table has watched.
No, we don't watch it, but we know all about his troubles and issues.
And sign of the night for that was Mr. Chrisley, come out now.
The debate is still raging in this apartment because we are all convinced of the fact that he is simply married because he's from the South. He has to get married.
So
I certainly love what my wife is wearing. I'm just gonna go and burst into flames.
Oh man!
And while we're all in commercial, I'm gonna go upstairs and try it on myself.
Oh jeez! When there's smoke, there's flame. Yeah.
Yes, Ethan, you are now officially forgiven.
Oh, good. Well,
until next time, because you know there's going to be a next time.
There will be a next time, I know, and the punishment will be even more severe. So,
And by the way, he's like also like $10 million in debt too.
$40 million in debt.
What?
He has about $4.5 million to his name in real estate and assets, and he's going through bankruptcy court right now because he owes $47 million.
Can we start with canceling his show and really put him in some deep water?
I mean, the show is titled Deceiving anyway.
Oh, come on. They haven't done that with TNA. What the hell makes you think they're going to do it with this guy? Jesus.
Because USA knows a little something about programming. I don't put that much stock in Spike. But the WWE probably got a whole lot of hate mail over these guests and went back to the drawing board and said, you know what? We might have a riot on our hands if we keep them on longer than a couple of minutes at a time. So let's do some cool stuff. Hey, we got a pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Let's get our stuff booked. So we, in the course of Raw, we got a couple of matches booked, and we had one match plucked off the pay-per-view and brought over to Monday night. What scares me, Ethan, is that there were people on the internet actually complaining that they gave the pole match away.
Honestly, I think it was better for them to put the pole match on free TV as opposed to the pay-per-view, because first of all, if you put it on the pay-per-view, you're going to give the guy, double the work. And especially if you're going to go through Hell in a Cell, you don't want to do that. Second of all, I think the pole match, I mean, if it was, maybe a little longer than what we saw, probably was not going to be that great. So I'm kind of glad they kind of burned it off as they did right now. And, they'll fill it with something else. They'll probably have another, Ziggler match or something like that.
And Nikki, as well, also, oh. I'm sorry. And also, as what you told me, and I don't know if I was around for it, you said since the pay-per-view buy rate, pay-per-view check rates are different, they may not be getting as much, per se.
They went ahead and did this pole match, and then they wove it into the evening storyline, where Orton dropped by the authority's office and said, hey, whoever doesn't get that contract, let me fight him. Now, Jason, did this give away the ending of the pole match to you?
No, not at all.
Good.
Because I don't trust the WWE to book. I really and truly don't. Because Ambrose Rollins' Hell in the Cell is the match everyone wants to see. Okay? They want to see them go through it 30 minutes and just kick the living shit out of each other.
And probably break the cell in the process.
Correct.
No. See, but that's the thing. They can't break the cell because, and I know you guys are going to start throwing crap at me, but Cena Orton's going to go on after Rollins Ambrose.
Sorry.
No, you're right. Jason, I agree.
Jason, if you didn't do it, I was going to.
No, I agree with you guys. I don't want to say that, but hear me out. If they put Rollins Ambrose on before Cena Orton, this guarantees them the time that they need and want. Second of all, and this isn't a wild card yet, I want to see how next week plays out. But picture this. People are already mumbling and grumbling about the fact that it's going to be Cena and Orton having a Hell in a Cell match that hopefully will be an apology for the last one they did a couple of years back. But we might need a surprise guest to come through and make himself known, open the door for himself, and take these two multi-time champions and beat them into, as Brian Henniger would say, a fine paste.
Are you talking about a certain uncle's client?
My client must be bored out of his mind. He hasn't done anything for 6 weeks except hunt and have time with Sable.
I thought that was one of the same.
Oh, jeez.
No, that's... Oh, are we still a PG show?
No.
Okay. The difference is there's hunting and then there's fishing.
It depends on the bait that you're trying to get the hook with, you see.
Thus.
Well, I'm pretty sure if Brock's sleeping with his own wife, he doesn't want to catch anything, but just saying.
Yeah, very good! Especially with all this stuff going around these days. Yeah,
the good
news... You're right. The fact that, remember... Cena or Cena Lesnar 3 should be happening at Survivor Series, is all the rumors to be.
And let it happen, because we got Ambrose Rollins in a cell.
But that still leaves us without a title match.
We got a couple of other title matches going on.
Small potatoes. I'm talking about the big one. The one that your uncle's client is currently wearing right now, and it will probably keep wearing anyway.
And they say title defenses have become passe. Now look, they're clamoring for it. You really want a title match, don't you?
I'd like one. Even if it's a complete and utter squash, I don't care if it's Brock Lesnar versus Zack Ryder.
Wrong!
That ain't happening.
No, I asked you this question. I don't know. I haven't done the research. When was the last time there was a pay-per-view with no title, no main title defended?
Wasn't it May?
Wasn't it
May? Let me look.
Because I think wasn't Brian supposed, scheduled to, but he wasn't able to because, surgery.
Which I need to bring up an update with him since he was. Out watching baseball. It wasn't because he's being lazy. It's just they're still trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with him. It's to the point that they're going to take Brian. They're thinking about taking Brian in for Tommy John surgery, which had the internet in a bit of a kerfluffle. And we're like, time out, guys. If that fixes what's going on with the nerves from his arm all the way up into his neck, he's not going to make it for, making it for Mania is going to really be tight. I want him 100%. I'm willing to wait till next SummerSlam.
I'd be willing to wait, too. I mean, it's going to be a very long, arduous wait, but I will definitely wait.
And Ethan, you are correct. It was Payback this year. I thought it was a lot longer than that.
So did I. But we do have title defenses being set up. We have Miz facing off against Sheamus, and that was properly set up with a segment that I need to go back and watch because I thought the pictures of Damian Sandow as Sheamus was just for shiggles. But Damian Sheamus. apparently was a guest on Miz TV, and Sheamus has a sense of humor. And rewarded Sandow for his impersonation with a boot to the head. So that match is on. Do we have an IC title match yet?
No.
I don't believe we do.
Okay.
The card as of now is that the two main events, which is Orton, Cena, and Ambrose Rollins. And then we have, at the moment,
the U.S. title match, which they just talked
about. Right, Big Show, Rusev. And the Who's the Bitch pay-per-view match with Bree and Nikki. Personal assistant for a month.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that one I find entirely skippable, but that's just me.
Oh, no, it's not just you. I read that and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
But just to glance over this, though, Raw was a much better show than what I was expecting to walk into. Now, granted, I went in with very, very low expectations.
As did I.
But I feel they delivered. They really delivered. That was a good Raw.
They delivered on the things that they weren't advertising, a.k.a. the guest stars.
Precisely, by doing as little as possible.
A quick interview. And considering they had the one Real Housewife of New Jersey who's not in jail right now, good job.
That was Atlanta. Same difference, though.
Same thing. Doesn't matter.
Of course it doesn't matter. Yes, I know.
Regardless, they kept that to a minimum, and that helped me catch up about 10 minutes on my DVR. I was happy for that. I'm a little worried about the Big Show Mark Henry love fest that's going on right now leading up to the Rusev match. We're getting a little too touchy-feely here. And
yeah, we were almost kind of thinking that the turn was going to happen right around that point, but it's probably going to happen at the Cell.
It's going to happen at the pay-per-view if there's going to be a turn. And for the record, Big Show and Mark Henry flipping a car in a Waffle House parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning, I 100% believe.
I would believe that, too.
Not only do I believe it, I bet there's pictures somewhere.
There's got it somewhere. There is a picture of this happening. I mean, after seeing Show flip a little, you know, like a Ford Escort on a SmackDown when he was chasing Torrey Wilson the night Kurt Angle broke his leg, and then rolling Luther Reigns' Jeep, although that took a couple of tries, and Mark Henry dragging semi-trailers behind him. Yeah, I believe it. But yeah, I smell a turn, and I just don't know why.
Because when it comes to Mark Henry and the Big Show, they are on the merry-go-round of face-heel turns.
That's true. They're just as bad with the face-heel revolving doors, Lex Luger. They can be either one at any time.
And it doesn't really matter because they pull it off well enough.
True, and that puts them in a feud that takes them away from Rusev. But who do you put up against Rusev now?
Oh, boy.
Let's all just play that little do-do-do-do.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. Yes, the car alarm must be hit, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This country needs to be saved. We need a hero! Anyway.
Keeps him away from the title, which all that counts.
And this might be a stretch for people, but seriously, if I was in creative, I would do it. If he's ready, I would give a big push and have Darren Young facing Rusev. Yeah, because you've got the return. Like you've seen all the return videos that they're hyping on the internet. If he's 100% ready, I say push him.
I'd like that, but I think I'll take that over the bunny suit, personally.
Yeah. Although, I would not be surprised if Darren Young was in the bunny suit.
Well, that's the rumor at this point. We know that Sami Zayn and Justin Gabriel have been playing the bunny on and off on shows. We just, you know, the reveal is supposed to be Darren Young. And given the tone of the videos that I've seen so far, that would be very inappropriate to me.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they'll be able to figure out whether they can just they just want the bunny to be a full-time joke. He's in our Santino spot.
Or maybe it is Santino.
No, we do have proof that at least one show it was Justin Gabriel, but
no, I mean for the reveal.
For the reveal, I would love it to be Santino. I would accept that. I would also accept the extreme duplicity of that being Chris Jericho.
Oh my god.
Well, he's always claimed to be a sexy beast, so why not, right?
Well, and his book is out. I have it on my Kindle. I am the best in the world at what? I have no idea. But he was interviewed, and he made the comment, look, I'm not just a wrestler, I'm not just a rock star, I'm not just a host, I'm not just a, you know, game show guy, I'm an entertainer. So whatever entertains people, and that would entertain me a great deal.
It's either that, or you got to have RVD under the bloody bunny suit and be like, man, I was stoned the whole time under this thing. It's party time.
That's not PG, but I'd take it. Dude, are we still in California?
Is this Colorado? Washington? You know?
Is it Silverdome?
What time is it, man?
It's 4:20? Good. All right, fine.
Dude, yes, I made it. Anyway,
It puts a whole new spin to it's party time all the time.
All the time!
I accept.
That was good.
I fully accept, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, headcanon is not real canon.
No,
headcanon is sometimes the best canon. Mm.
Yeah.
See, now that you guys just say the word canon, it's just like I just instantly popped in my head. Bunny, the bunny takes his head off. It's like, who better than Canyon?
No,
not quite.
Ooh, no.
Hey, if you're gonna have some Dufossi, you might as well go with it.
But Nikki, let's get serious because after Raw. We got some shocking news, actually.
Yes. Unfortunately, somebody, a tenured member of the WWE staff, was given his walking papers. So, after a 12-year run, and I can't believe it's been 12 years, Justin Roberts is no longer ring announcing for the WWE.
It's been 12 years?
That's the number directly from him.
How long was he in developmental before he started in ECW?
I don't recall.
Wow.
Okay, there we go. He also did announcing for Velocity before he was, doing Velocity and Heat before he was doing all the other stuff. But the notes that I have from him, not directly from him, but stuff that he'd posted, 12 years. Now, I am going to dispel the one rumor out there about why this went down. Consider the source, ladies and gentlemen, Reddit. Supposedly, Justin and Michael Cole got in an argument during the show, and Justin flipped Cole off. Since there has not been picture one of this on the internet, to the story I simply say, Bullshit. I have never seen Justin Roberts mad.
No, no. If anything, Justin is probably the biggest doofus of them all.
And I have a couple of really good Justin stories for that. I could tell you that I've been at a house show on his birthday.
Cena caked him, if I remember correctly.
He was caked and whipped creamed. Because Triple H made sure he couldn't go anywhere, and they hog-tied him during the main event.
Here's a funny thing. There is actually a person that has commented on this situation, and that was JBL himself.
Oh, I have it. Would you like me to read it in his voice?
Oh, if you wish.
Boy. Wah, 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 wah. The sun was in my eyes. My shoes are untied. There's the black helicopters, Maggle.
That's good. Keep going.
One of the online rumors making the rounds in the wake of the Justin Roberts WWE release on Monday was that Roberts and Michael Cole had gotten into a fight in front of the fans at the taping. I saw this on the internet. And do you realize how preposterous this is? Really? I don't get it.
It is horrible. Stupid, contagious.
Michael has zero break during them 3 hours. King and I barely have enough time to tweet. We go straight to the WWE app during commercials, which Michael's so helpful in showing everybody how to download, and back to TV. This fight never happened and couldn't have happened due to lack of time. I have no idea how these things start. But I'm happy that people care enough to write about what we do and what goes on. Sometimes through the news is wrong, and that's the case here. I wish Justin the best, obviously, and I know nothing of his departure other than what was announced, but wanted to clear this up as the internet was buying into this for fact. JBL, you underestimate the internet.
I'm Mark, and I'm really smart.
We don't know what really happened, but I can tell you that JBL is 100% correct. When you are down at the announce table, you don't have time for any of that stupid crap. And this was supposedly happening during a match, which Cole's too busy either shilling the app, getting yelled at in his headset, or arguing with JBL to spend time arguing with Justin.
Well, this does beg a question. Could it have occurred before the show?
There's that potential, but these
But that's pretty much speculation.
That's all speculation at this point. But again, pictures or it didn't happen. And we're 5 days out, and I still haven't seen a picture. Because I'm sure somebody, one of the 10,000 plus in that arena, got a picture of it or a video or something. But there is nothing out there. And Justin has actually been very gracious. He posted about it. After reading through all of your messages, I wanted to say this. Please do not be angry. Please do not be sad. I've lived my dream. I'm glad that maybe now someone else will have a spot to live theirs. So many thanks to everyone I've worked with in the WWE. Sure, Sue, the company gem, and my guardian angel, the producers who have taught me so much and constantly let me pick their brains. The referees, they made it look easy. That's not an easy job. Security, props, audio, lighting, PR, cameras, travel, catering, production assistants. My eyes and ears at the bell, Mr. Mark Eaton, who was also recently released. Everyone who I've met along the way, everyone who has come into my life because of this job, and those who I've never had the opportunity to meet but have enjoyed my work, I appreciate and I'm grateful for everyone's support. So to Vince, to Kevin Dunn, and the authority who gave me this incredible opportunity, I've got two words for you. Thank you. The journey has been incredible and almost unbelievable. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for to pen the final chapter of my memoirs. This guy's in his 30s! And he's writing his freaking memoirs? Lucky bastard?
Definitely.
I just think this may have been a budget issue.
I think it is too, because he'd been there for a while and he would have a little leverage with tenure, and they're not going to pay that kind of money when they can, when Lillian can come through whenever. They've got Eden and I think JoJo they were training.
And it's already being rumored that, yeah, Eden is definitely the one getting called up to replace Justin Roberts there.
And Saxton could do it too. Saxton, like, ever since NXT, I said, this guy's got him, is a mic guy. You know, even if he never made it as a wrestler, I would have taken him as a color commentator.
Nikki, I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Is this the first time if Eden Runnels, whatever her name is, becomes the head announcer? Is this the first time a major promotion has female ring announcers on both shows?
If you're talking major televised product, probably.
And yes, we don't count TNA.
Well, we don't even have to talk about TNA really, because they're not going to have anything new for the rest of the year. The one thing I can talk about, though, is that the Dudleys are on the market, and the Evil Boss is thinking about it.
At least for, like, what, a Legends contract?
Let's give them the RVD Jericho deal. Come on in, throw some people through tables, make us laugh. Both of them are in much even better shape than they were when they left. Especially Bubba.
Oh, yeah.
He's dropped 100 pounds. He said so.
Oh, yeah. And Devon's taken a bit off himself. So I'd love to see these guys come back for a nostalgia run. You know, something like what they did with the New Age Outlaws last year. I would be okay with that.
I would be down for that, but, I mean, would you put them up with, the Dust or the Usos?
Yes, now?
You think they can go?
Oh, my God. The Dudleys versus the Usos? Take my money.
I would actually pay for a table match for that. I would definitely pay money for that. Pay-per-view money.
Just a normal match. Let me just tell you something, and this is no joke, and I'm being dead serious when I say this. The best thing to happen to the Dudleys was them going to TNA, and I'm being dead serious about this, because they have both earned their character. They have both upped their character game, lost their weight, improved their work rate, and now they are actually more valuable than when they left in, when was it, 06? Or something like that, whenever they left.
Yeah, I think they left right after One Night Stand 05.
Okay.
Yeah, they left after the second one, after the first One Night Stand?
Yeah.
Something.
Okay. Anyway, they can go back and say, give us the Legends deal. Let us have our characters back, please. even just a goof, just give me a one shot with them walking out with Uncle Paul in Philadelphia.
Sure.
And yes, Dudleys versus the Usos, take my money. Dudleys versus the Dusts, okay.
That would be just insane.
Who else we got out there? We need more tech.
Dudleys versus the Ascension?
I'd be interested. I want Dudleys versus
the Vaudevillains.
Yes. I still want to know why Simon Gotch is not on my television. I realize he came from a time where it hadn't been invented yet. I want a freaking newsreel. I want him on my television right the hell now.
His kinetoscope is in HD. He told me so. Okay.
So I, you know, and there's a couple more pictures have popped up of Gotch doing stuff, and I'm like, yes, I want him on my television yesterday. And I think he'd appreciate that joke. Give me the Dudleys versus the Super Luchas. Give me, you know, give me the Dudleys versus Miz and Mizdow. That's a comedy match with a table. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because it looks like the Dudleys are going to be the only person from TNA not coming in, because Angle, I don't think, is going to get the deal from what I'm hearing.
What have you heard since? Because it sounded like they were trying to get a Legends deal out of him, at least.
Well, again, we talked about it, is the fact that Angle wanted a full-time schedule. WWE wanted a full-time schedule. Angle smartly said, no, I can't do this. So, again, I don't know if they're going to give him the Legends deal or not. I don't know.
They should. They really should.
I just don't understand why the whole team, why any TNA stars that have left have not come into the WWE yet. That's, you know.
Either to that, it's either WWE doesn't want or need them, or from the other side, the guys from TNA don't think they would be picked up because of age, age, prior experience, or just the TNA stink.
Yeah, I think they'd all be like what Sting was like before he finally joined WWE. It's like, they wouldn't know how they'd be marketed. They'd be like, no, I've worked too hard in my career in TNA to have it all flushed away.
That's the other thing. A TNA guy will not have the leverage that Sting does.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon AJ Styles could possibly get away with it.
And I think Bobby Roode might, even with the Doc's blessing. Because Hunter wants Roode.
Definitely. Bobby Roode versus Triple H. I would like seeing that match. Is it, I don't know if it's just me, but
I'd be interested. If that's going to be one of Hunter's last handful of matches, please.
Well, here's the thing. I actually think AJ Styles made the right choice by going to New Japan and Ring of Honor. I really do, because since he's left, he's done very well in Ring of Honor as basically, and I mean, he just lost the New Japan title, but he's incredibly successful in the Bullet Club, you know, in New Japan.
So. Right. And he's got a little more control over his destiny. He can decide what, you know, he can pick and choose his bookings and still make crazy money because he was on TV at one point. Yes, it was TNA, but hey, I was on national TV. You're gonna pay me real money. And he's doing it on his terms. And that's why I think, you know, that's why I think AJ's fine in Japan. Cause he was gonna be a mid-carder at best in the Fed. He would have had to do something absolutely mind-blowing. And even then, that's gonna take a second, because that didn't do it for Kalisto, that's not doing it for Itami, and that's not doing it for Baylor. So, those guys will be on TV sooner than later. And Kevin Steen is just waiting impatiently by the name generator.
Unfortunately.
Poor guy. Let's see. Oh, yes. Happy Scary Dean. Happy Scary Dean.
Without what I'm going to do next, I can't even say on this show.
Which was part of his laundry list of what he was going to do to Seth Rollins in the cage at the pay-per-view.
Yes, Happy Scary Dean. He's just so good. Oh, and by the way, if you watch Raw, did you notice that Cena is going a little on the dark side of the force, just a touch, just a touch.
Just a little. I'm noticing it, yeah.
Just a little. He's getting a bit serious, and he's also giving Ambrose a couple of pats on the back. Is he looking for a good spot to place the knife?
You know, let me tell you something. It would make a lot of internet fans happy.
If no had. Kidding.
Oh, no kidding. I agree. I just don't know if I don't know if they're brave enough to pull the trigger. I don't trust WWE, you know, on that one.
I could see them do it for like a TLC match, Cena versus Ambrose. I could see that.
And we're not going to get a goofy ending like the Cena Sheamus match, where Ambrose, just gently shoves Cena through a table.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. In this era, you have a better chance of seeing Sin Cara becoming world heavyweight champion than you do seeing John Cena turning heel. That's not even a joke. That's fact.
No, I'm with you. I agree. I don't trust the WWE to do that. They won't. I don't see them doing that. I think Ambrose and Cena will just have, it'll be a face-face rivalry. But essentially, it's kind of Hogan's. I don't want to say Hogan Savage-esque, but you've got your white meat baby face and your crazy guy. So, Hogan Savage? Anyone?
Sure. I mean, it's just...
I don't see either one of them turning, because, first of all, Ambrose is, pardon the term, crazy over. And, again, that t-shirt with the mature content pastiche. Dear Santa Claus, I wear a large. Anyway.
But you know what? Seeing Cena turn while Ambrose is this hot might just make him white hot. That just might put him over the top.
If this is the time to do it, because we need faces badly. And Randy Orton, tease or not, is not the answer. I know that they've got an interesting angle with that. The fact that Randy is concerned that his spot might be taken up by this smiling Iowa boy with a briefcase.
The smirking, arrogant Iowa boy with a briefcase.
How's it feel, Randy? How's it feel to be on the other side of that? How's that feel? How does that feel?
You're not taking any pleasure in this, Nikki, are you?
No. Never. I would never do such a thing. I'm leaving the honor to Rollins' opponent.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view!
Yeah, okay.
Because I just pictured Rollins and Ambrose backstage looking at each other going, holy shit, what are we doing this far up the card? How did we get here?
And Daniel Bryan calls from the Giants game in Kansas City. You want to hang out later? I'm watching baseball. that's one. Okay.
And the other one is sitting on the couch, not picking up his phone at all.
All right, fuck you.
Yeah. Yes.
That includes the fan at the Blackhawks game who believes he was owed at least a hello. Bullshit, mister.
You ain't owed Jack. Sorry.
He's retired. He doesn't have to do nothing. He just wants his discount.
And Dave's getting a role in the new James Bond film, so,
Is that confirmed?
No, that is hot rumor, though.
My goodness. If Dave gets that, Dave don't have to come back no time at all.
No.
Don't. Dave, go make movies. Go make money. Make shit tons of money. Send me some.
Excuse me, if he, because the rumor is he's going to play like a bodyguard called Hinks, H-I-N-X. Not confirmed, but very strong. Even WWE posted it on their webpage.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but if he gets it, more power to him. And I owe him some money because I need to go see Guardians of the Galaxy still. I know. I'm sorry. So, but yeah, you know, I think most of the reason any of us are going to be watching the pay-per-view is for Rollins and Ambrose. I don't care what happens with Cena and Orton in the cell until my client, until my uncle and my client show up.
And you're absolutely right, because Rollins and Ambrose should tear the living... They're going to blow the roof off that place. They are.
And I love the piece of it on SmackDown where Kane is in Rollins' face saying that they've never faced this kind of trauma. Kane? Did you know that Dean was in CZW? And I don't think Rollins has done anything that crazy or stupid, but he's a Ring of Honor guy, so he's probably done a couple of things. And given that I've seen Ambrose at his craziest when he was in Indiana fighting some kid that most people know as Solomon Crowe, but at the time had a moniker, The New Horror, I think Dean knows exactly what he's getting into. And for some reason, I just see him going into that cage. I hope they introduce him first so he can go into the cage, go to the far corner, closer to the outside, and sit in a corner hammock and just wait for Rollins. I see it in my mind's eye, and it's beautiful.
Oh, indeed. But we've just got to hope and pray, and I know it's definitely not going to happen, but we don't want another Mick Foley situation on our hands here.
To be honest, I don't think anybody's going to be allowed on top of that cell. That cell is too damn tall. That cell is much taller than the original. I have seen both in person. The cell that Foley worked on was the same cell that Hunter and Shawn fought in at Bad Blood 04. That's a nasty spill. That, you know, that'll dislodge a few things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, We're talking about, obviously Dean's done crazy stuff in CZW, but let's not forget, Mick Foley was doing, like, barbed wire ring matches and that in ECW, and yet the Hell in a Cell match was what destroyed him.
Well, let's see. Yeah, missing tooth, a bruised kidney, a concussion, two or three other things, and Undertaker was doing the heavily taped foot.
Yes, because it was broken.
Right. And so, you know, at least these guys are going in about 90%. They're not going to get up. They're not going to do anything off the top of the cell. They would be stupid to do that. There's no need for that. That cell is too damn tall for anybody to be jumping off it. If anything, it's going to impress me if I see either of these boys bleed.
Now, there's a question for everybody. Should they be doing these type of matches if we don't get any blood? Like, because we've seen, like, obviously Lesnar, Taker.
Yes.
In Hell in a Cell, that was the most bloodiest Hell in a Cell match. It's like, damn.
I could give you. I'll see that and Nikki, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bad Blood 04.
Undertaker Lesnar at No Mercy 02 was worse. Blood was pouring off of Undertaker. There's a reason why they don't show footage from New Mercy 02. Undertaker's face was hamburger, and the only time I've seen a broken Muta that bad was Mick Foley when he fought Terry Funk in Japan in the barbed wire C4 death match. The one he was still burning when he got back on the plane to go home. I've seen that match. I saw Sean Hunter live. And yeah, they were both bloody messes when we were done. But Lesnar Undertaker was worse. Was, oh my God, look away worse. Was choking me with barbed wire worse. We're not even going to get a semblance of that with Rollins and Ambrose, sadly. That's the only thing that is going to be missing from this match.
If I was Rollins and Ambrose, I would happily take the fine that WWE give you for the blading these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put some effect in that match.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you on that. I mean, I think Punk went ahead and paid a fine to Blade once. And I think I can see Dean begging for the opportunity to bleed in the cell. He's going to be in there. He is going to get his money's worth.
Definitely. Not to mention the fact that everyone's just going to blow the roof off the place as soon as that bell rings.
And do you guys honestly think that people are going to get up and leave if they put Cena Orton on after that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It will be the first ever empty arena Hell in a Cell match.
And sadly, you know, I can see that happening. I can certainly see that happen. I don't want it to happen. But to be honest, that's most of the reactions I'm getting. You know what? I get to turn this off 20 minutes early.
It will be the only time you can reference TNA with WWE in the same sentence.
Yeah.
This is a TNA main event right here.
So I wonder if there's enough static from this that'll go back to the WWE and they're gonna all look at each other and say, "Oh my God, this could happen." Nah, we'll have enough little kids and shrieky fangirls that'll stay for this match. We're not going to worry about it. I don't know, guys.
It's just going to be a match where the fans are just going to absolutely obliterate us.
See, I think some of them are going to stay just so they can crap on this match.
Top three chants of the night that are going to happen with this match. You can't wrestle. Baby oil.
No.
No, they won't say that, because remember, Randy's not allowed to use it anymore, although that would give him an advantage in the cell.
Baby oil.
I just can't believe Randy Orton's getting so popular with these RKO vines. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, I knew I was supposed to talk about something. And you guys know how much I love Randy Orton. And that I don't mind watching him, typically under somebody else's boots. But somebody out there has made him entertaining for me with these RKO vines.
He RKO'd my former prime minister, damn it.
He RKO'd a freaking giraffe. That's funny.
Oh, dear. I've seen some funny ones. Although, the face he pulls, the face they have him pulling afterwards, it looks like he's taking a dump. I don't know. It really does, though. Like, he's RKO, someone just goes, huh. It's like, oh, Jesus.
I think somebody found the vines. Oh, good Lord, I didn't realize there were that many.
These RKO vines are brought to you by My Little Pony.
Well, actually, the good news is that they're branching out. It's not just RKOs anymore. They're going to start, I'm seeing Clotheslines from Hell, Sweet Chin Music. Oh my goodness.
Steve Austin stunning people and JBL with a clothesline from hell.
Yeah. Oh, this is... Okay.
I will be watching these later.
I'm probably going to have to watch all some of these too. I'm going to have to watch some of these. I've seen some of the RKO ones. Like I said, the one of Randy RKOing a giraffe. You need to find this one.
I have not seen that one, but I will want to watch it. Just see how funny it is.
You need to find this one because it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Again, you guys know how much of an Orton fan I am. This is probably the most I will have watched Orton since he slipped on the ropes at Bad Blood 04.
And the WWE is actually on it, which is pretty good, because I think Orton was the one who was notified by it, and he's laughing at it, okay?
Well, I'm sure he thinks he's hysterical, and he's probably taking notes, because he did a hell of a one against Ziggler Monday night.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was insane.
That was an excellent air KO. I call them air KOs when he does that. But, you know, he's like, okay, you know, am I that stiff in the ring? I don't think I'm that stiff in the ring. I think I work pretty light. Maybe I work too light. I don't know. So it's Orton's getting some other popularity. He finally got his episode on Slam City. He's a zookeeper. And I'm not going to tell you what happens in this episode short of a bubble bath and a female gorilla.
No comment.
Have all of my nope.
Okay, Carl,
Nikki, that is your vengeance for what I did.
Have all of my notes. Please cut that, please, as a promo. Seriously. Have all of my nope. Yeah.
I feel better already.
Good grief.
In fact, now that I've said that, I'm gonna go take a quick peek over at Slam City and see if they've added any more. Besides Randy Orton, zookeeper. Nope. They are threatening to do... Oh, wait a minute. No, there are a couple other ones. Ooh. Okay, there's two more. One with, I bet, Randy and I think Santino. And then another one with Orton and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God.
They're threatening a comic, too. By the way,
I heard Slam City is doing really well, so
they are entertaining.
They're doing a very good job with them. I've enjoyed it, even when sometimes they completely crib from Warner Brothers, but 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 yeah, these are a lot of fun. Like I said, my only complaint is that the guys aren't actually doing their own voices. Though in a way, that's kind of saving the WWE's bacon, in that they technically don't have to pay Punk. Since that's really not him. And also, I'm also disappointed that since Del Rio got fired, I won't have any more Alberto de Baresa Slam City episodes, which were some of the better ones. And I'm still waiting for a couple other people to show up. Because Miz has only shown up as a villain. Santana's been beaten up two or three different ways. Poor Mark Henry.
Yeah. You know what? I want to see Zack Ryder as comic book guy.
Yes, I'm not even a Simpsons fan, and I would accept that. And they haven't
worst comic ever, bro.
And they haven't finished the Seamus Lesnar movie theater stuff either.
Oh God.
And points to the writers for the first episode of that, of Lesnar being an obnoxious idiot in the movie theater with a giant sandwich. As Jimmy Johns is sitting there going, well played. Plus, I want to see another shot of Vince McMahon in a safe. Anyway, but beyond all of that doofus, somehow, Stephanie McMahon, who apparently is a good businesswoman, even if she is a horrible writer and even worse actress, has gotten herself into some elite company. Jason, you showed me this.
Yeah, she is one of... This is a pretty prestigious honor. All joking aside, she's an Eisenhower fellow. Okay? She was...
So she's an Eisenhower guy. Oh.
No. No. No, I'm just trying to find the actual... Yeah, here it is here. She has selected one. She's one of 9 U.S. leaders to... it's part of the International Leadership Exchange Program for Professionals called the Eisenhower Fellowships. And the head of this was... And don't cringe, Ethan. It was Colin Powell, okay? They exist to inspire leaders from the press release around the world to challenge themselves to think beyond their current scope, to exchange others, including outside their current networks, and leverage their own talents to better the world around them. And she was selected from a highly competitive pool of applicants from across the U.S. She's going to travel to Asia and South America. And she said, I am honored to have been selected as an Eisenhower Fellow as part of such an esteemed class of global leaders. I look forward to this transformational experience to gain a deeper understanding of the culture and key growth areas from both a business and a community standpoint, develop relationships with my fellows as well as key influencers abroad, partner with the Women's Leadership Program, and use this knowledge to help shape WWE's global business strategies and continue our mission of putting smiles on people's faces. Now, that also reminded me of something. I'll continue the press release in a second. Did you know that when The Rock came on last week from Brooklyn, that was the first night of live coverage to the entire continent of South America from Fox Sports Latin America? Do you remember this?
I was not even aware of that.
Yeah, Michael Cole said it after The Rock left his promo. So that's another happy coincidence there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So she... joins, including David Bray, who is the visiting associate on cybersecurity at the University of Oxford, CIO for the Federal Communications Commission, and Amy Wilkinson, author with Simon & Schuster and senior fellow at Harvard University. Past fellows included Adam Grossman, senior VP of marketing, Brandon Eagle, Boston Red Sox, Ann Gordon, senior vice president of media and communications of the Philadelphia Eagles, Inez Alberti, executive director of the UN Development Fund for Women, and Mark Van Hulleken, the chief of staff for the European Commission of International Trade. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal, right, Nick?
If this is something that you wouldn't expect out of a wrestling company, but what Vince has been calling it for a long time, an entertainment company. The fact that Stephanie was even considered for this tells me that the world is starting to come around a little bit about this great big crazy corporation in Stamford, Connecticut. They must be doing something right because they're still in business. They have been in business, this kind of business, for going on 35 years now. 2010s. Yeah. 30 years in its current incarnation. As a national and global entertainment corporation. And the fact that, you know, you went down that list of Eisenhower prospects, and the fact that they were able to take them from other professional sports, which are just as scripted, and put them on this council. That's a huge deal. And I'm surprised that it was Stephanie and not Hunter. I'm glad that it was Stephanie. Don't get me wrong. I'm just glad, you know, I'm just surprised it was her. Any thoughts, gentlemen?
No, I'm proud, you know, to show that, you know, I mean, look, I think the future is in good hands. And even Chris Jericho said so in an interview to promote his book.
Yes.
Okay. This was for, I believe, thestreet.com, which I saw.
Yeah, this is the one I quoted earlier. Go on.
You know, he basically says that, you know, that Stephanie and Paul are going to bring the company and have the company stay in the 21st century. And while the networks are taking a hit. Oh, and by the way, here's a little something for you.
Okie dokie.
No, no, no. Did you notice that, and Ethan, you could talk to us about this, mm-hmm. that multiple entertainment networks are going through are proposing streaming services now?
Yeah, we're hearing about HBO, and now CBS is about to have their own internet service.
And Starz is going to do this? Hey, do you think that they're going to credit the WWE for being the first?
No!
Of course not!
No, please. You should know better. Ethan, if I may quote you.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no. I thought you were going to quote our truth there for a second.
No, but let me actually. I'll do you one better. Did the NFL ever credit the XFL for Madden Cam? Because that's where it came from.
The wire cam? Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's where it started.
No, I know. No, I'm saying no. They won't credit them. Okay.
No, they won't, because they don't want to give away the fact that they steal their scripts.
No, I'm sorry. You're thinking of the NBA.
I don't know. I just found it an interesting coincidence that the Seattle Seahawks win the same year that a guy from the area was really, really popular with the Fed.
Yeah. No, but I'm serious. I mean, if the network wasn't successful, these companies wouldn't put the money into the streaming services.
Precisely.
Hell, no way. Okay. So, hey, people who downgraded the network earlier this year, it's successful because you've got companies going through it. And if they weren't successful, we are eventually going to get away from people like DirecTV and Dish and all these cable monopolies. Not now, but we're talking maybe 10 to 20 years down the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you pick the channels you want to watch.
Which is something that people have been asking for at least two decades. You know, even during the cable era, we wanted a la carte service, and we would have paid more for it. And now the cable and satellite companies are going to lose their shirts because the internet said, sure, watch this. Is this what you wanted? History Channel's blowing up with theirs, too, by the way. They've been advertising their service by the fact that they're saying, hey, come watch the first episodes of our really popular stuff.
Right.
Come see early episodes of Pickers and Pawn Stars.
Fail.
Oh, hi, Muckamuck.
Wow.
Excuse me, I would like to hijack this episode right quick for a little message to these people. I feel like Oprah. F you, and you get an F you, an F you.
Everybody gets an F you.
Thank you, I'll be here all week. Bye-bye.
And they also get an attitude adjustment.
Yes, exactly. But it's just like the WWE had the balls to put $200 million in the network?
Some ridiculous amount. And I'll tell you what, I have had almost zero trouble with it the last few weeks when I've been using it for another show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will plug here momentarily because we do need to start cycling down a bit. But I have had very few problems with the show, with the network in general. The amount of content of new content that they're getting on there is actually pretty darn good. I've heard mixed reviews for Monday Night War: Rise of the Cruiserweights. Has anybody here seen that episode?
Not yet.
I need to get a look at it because they do speak of the radicals, even though most of them, I think Malenko was the only one that was really involved in the cruiserweight division out of those four.
Well, they were part and parcel. I know Jericho, I think, was part of the cruiserweight division at one point, even if it was, you know, just for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But you know, just the fact that they do talk about the radicals and they show all of the radicals, even if some of the interviews, they don't talk about all the radicals.
Ah, yes, you mean the third, that radical we can't talk about. Him.
That radical that we're not allowed to advertise, but we will at least acknowledge he existed. And
did they mention him by name?
The instance I was told was that Vicky Guerrero was interviewed, and she did not mention him. And I don't know if that was mandated or if that was personal choice.
I'm guessing mandated.
And that disappoints me. I'm sorry, WWE. He existed. Be thankful it wasn't on camera. And I'll go no further with that.
Oh, just one other question. Isn't the network also starting to put ads on their shows?
There's some advertising on there, and I've seen the commercials. It's no big deal. They run one commercial. It's not skippable. That'd be my only complaint. But that 30 seconds was going to be blown loading whatever it was I was going to watch anyway. So what do you want to watch? You know, what would you want to watch? A little spinning doohickey? Or do you want to watch a stupid commercial of a kid getting his thumbs physically removed because he texts too much? I'm surprised I'm not getting an answer. Okay.
No. I'm just. You know, the Hulu Plus does it all the time. So meh. You know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I understand. I don't care. You know, it's not like it's going. You know, it's not like it's the end of the world. And it's something that they're doing to, you know, if they feel they've had a, that they need a little more capital coming in. They lost money earlier this year, and not just because of the network. They have every right. But it's only one commercial, guys. It's not like six or seven. Unfortunately, it's been the same commercial a couple of times I've been through it.
Well, give it some time. I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Well, I'm hoping that they'll start doing their own ads, too, where we get pay-per-view previews. We start getting some of the goofy stuff. Since we're coming close to the end of the year, I am looking forward to whatever doofosity they want to do for the Survivor Series or for the Rumble. Because they always seem to come up with something really good for both of those. Even if it's something doofus like Sean and Hunter in a pretend battlefield. And then they show you the underside of the table where neither one of them are wearing pants. And I think Sean was wearing bunny slippers. So, with that, I'm going to wrap up a show that puts us 4 weeks away from episode 350. With limited interruption, we have been able to maintain this show for 7.5 years and coming up on 350 episodes.
Damn. Wow. That's pretty awesome.
So I need to get off my ass and get some talent in here. Nothing against you guys. But I always like to have some surprises on that show. So let me see who I can find. But I figure I'm going to have as many of our panelists as possible show up. That will include you, Hi Muck Amuck, and possibly the other original for the show, even if it's just for a few minutes.
Yeah, like a minute and a half.
Just enough for me to come in and kick you both off the couch again. How about that?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. So we'll get there. But that is my shill. Jason, plug something.
I will definitely plug a few things. Since Jim does not have a mic, I'm going to do it again. Touch 'em All World Series Preview Edition records tomorrow night. The Kansas City Royals absolutely spanked the Baltimore Orioles 4-0, and we had a five-game series with the San Francisco Giants. So we have the team of destiny versus the team that has appeared in 3 out of the last 5 World Series. I mean, you've got the irresistible force, meaning the immovable object in baseball. It's going to be fun, and we're going to have a bunch of people talking about it. Pixel Nation, we are going to continue to cover this Gamergate scandal that really blew up this week, where a feminist author had to cancel an appearance because she had death threats by gamers.
Oh, for crying out loud.
No, yeah, it's getting really, 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 really bad. I believe WLTI Live is going to record next week. Ethan, this weekend has to be done. You know it must be done.
Red State, Blue State, we have to get it done.
Yeah, we have to get it done because it's either panic or no panic. That's the way I could, you know, call it.
That
is the subtitle. Panic or no panic with the whole Ebola thing and a bunch of other stuff.
With Howie Mandel in a big suit.
In a hazmat suit. Absolutely.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past Howie Mandel.
No, I would not. Exactly.
Actually, you guys need a soundbite for this. Jim, look up some Jamie Heineman from Mythbusters. I kind of like it in here. It's really private.
Yeah.
I'm too busy watching Discovery Family.
Yeah, exactly. But, Carl, talk about some football, shall we?
Yeah, probably the quickest edition of the BS in a long time. Under an hour.
Coach Jays.
Yeah, me and Jim were done for yesterday. And we did it right before the game. We talked about week six and did an on-the-fly BSFFL Live. And
is it week seven now? Not six?
We have finished six. We're in seven now.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right.
Derp.
Derp. Derp. But, yeah, we and oh, boy, the Giants epic fail. Yeah, that was an
we talked epic too.
Yeah, epic fail of epic proportions. And I think that's all the showing outside of course, StitcherRadioPlayer.fm. And, of course, TuneIn Radio, which you can get at all your stores. TuneIn, by the way, just updated. I believe it is at version 12.7.4. So check that out.
Yeah, did an update for iOS 8. And they're going to have to do one for 8.1 when that comes out Monday. Huh.
What? OS 8 is already updated to 8.1?
That's going to enable Apple Pay.
Hello. There you go. Yeah.
By the way, I may make Brian mention that little Apple event for y'all to talk about.
Okay, put it in the Pixel Nation feed. We'll absolutely.
Do. One more thing to really hurry up and plug real quick.
Go ahead.
You mentioned the guy earlier winning on one of his newer podcasts, the Sigma and Dude Show, maybe next week with Tony Tucker.
Okay.
And the room was dead. Okay, let's get out of here.
One last thing before we go. As I mentioned, you know, the network has put me in a second project, and that's me and Chris Waters in Paper Review. The latest episode will be up on Tin Deck very soon, where we review WrestleMania 2. And how not to use guests as compared to this past Monday's Raw.
Uh-oh.
Precisely. That's probably the best way to sum up that entire show. Anyway, also do not forget that the North American Wrestling Connection can be found on the Freakin' Awesome Network with tons of other podcasts, news articles, satire, and a forum full of doofuses such as myself. So.
And other doofuses who take recordings from other variations of things. And are still not ashamed of it.
Admitted. So, for Ethan Muslin, for Jason Block, for Bad News Beeman, for our chief high muckety muck Carl Schneer, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune back in because we ain't stopping yet. Oh, and
stay pony, my friends.